Welcome back to the Consumer Toolbox. I'm your host, Milagros. In the first episode of the Consumer Toolbox titled Wait, Don't Buy a Lemon, I brought to light decisions for you to make before shopping for a car and what to look for to avoid buying a lemon. I'm taken back by the tremendous positive feedback and the emails received from you, our subscribers and listeners, on that particular episode. Many of you have requested more tips on buying a car. I am humbled by the number of high school teachers and college professors who have encouraged their students to listen to the episode, and for those who have recommended the Consumer Toolbox podcast to their students. I recall the day when I financed my very first car when I was a young 18-year-old. The highlight of that particular day was my enthusiasm of owning my own car, which, by the way, turned out to be reliable, dependable, and affordable. I like to think that I had consumer wit at a young age. I also believe that the business law course I took in high school helped pave the way for me. Anyhow, you'll hear more about my experience later in this episode. One thing I have learned from working with and educating consumers is the need to remind consumers on how to avoid buying a lemon. Once is good, but twice is always better. As a consumer once said to me, the first workshop I attended was a teaser, but the second one was the pleaser. And yes, there's a lot of truth to that for consumers who want to buy a car. Education is the best prevention, and in this episode, you will get empowered and learn why and when it is necessary for you to use your car buying power. In this new episode of the Consumer Toolbox, I will share more tricks of the trade with you, from how to protect yourself from buying a lemon to what you should do if and when you have a problem with the car or the dealer after you make the purchase. But first, please understand that because the Consumer Toolbox podcast is reaching listeners across the globe, I strive to provide general information helpful to everyone, rather than focus on just one or exclude any particular territory. However, I encourage you to check with your local state attorney general for consumer protection rights for the state or country where you live or where the purchase was made. Looking over our local consumer program statistics, auto sales-related complaints continued to be one of the top leading complaints in 2020. This tells me that consumers are still buying cars without being well informed, allowing dealers to take advantage of their vulnerability. It is estimated that an average of 60 million Americans purchase or lease a vehicle each year. I can assure you that the current pandemic has not stopped or slowed down consumers from shopping for cars. In fact, just this past October, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reported that a record-breaking number of complaints were filed from March to July. All 2,844 of those complaints were related to auto financing and leasing from consumers affected by the pandemic. It has been said that cars are a necessity. Perhaps this is the case for most of us anyway. The primary reason we buy or lease a car is because we need it to get to and from work. The majority of consumers we provide assistance to bought what they could afford. In other words, they did not buy a brand new car or a gently used car, but rather one that they could afford to buy within their limited budget. Some of you who have a fixed income or limited budget are able to finance cars at high interest rates or at a buy here, pay here dealer. But unfortunately, many of those cars sold to you are often older models, have a high odometer reading, or come with a history of much wear and tear. Regardless of which one of those applies to you, your problem with the car will begin soon thereafter, when the car doesn't pass state inspection, stops running, and turns out to be a lemon, and then the dealer refuses to honor any repairs, leaving you with a long list of repairs you cannot afford to pay out of pocket. Sadly, this happens more often than you know, and it happens because you relied on the dealer and believed them when they told you that the car was a good running car. This could have been avoided had you first requested a pre-purchase inspection from your personal mechanic. I can assure you that this small investment is the one that can ultimately save you thousands of dollars in costly repairs down the road. So I want to once again remind you that the best car you can purchase is the one that you can take on a long road test and which your mechanic gives it a clean bill of health. Too often we hear from consumers who took the car to their mechanic, but only after they purchased it. However, I don't recommend this. Rather, it should be the other way around. First, you take it to your mechanic, then you buy the car, but only if your mechanic gives you his seal of approval. You also want to make sure that your mechanic puts the car on a lift to check its undercarriage for any corrosion or possible broken parts. You'd be surprised at the story the underneath of a car tells you about the safety of a car. Yet another reason why you should never fall in love with the shiny car that appears to be in pristine condition. Asking the dealer for the history or condition of the car you want to buy just isn't enough. You need to rely on the opinion of a third party, that being your mechanic, of course. Remember that you're paying him to look out for your best interest and your hard-earned dollars. As I said in episode 1, buyer's remorse is not a valid reason for you to return a car to the dealer. Now, if the dealer denies your request to have your car checked by your mechanic, a red flag should immediately go up. You want to ask yourself, what is it that they don't want me to know? Now, if the dealer outright denies you the opportunity to have your mechanic inspect the car, then at this point, you must use your power to walk away from the deal. It's that simple. Let me put it this way. It's much easier to walk away from a bad deal than it is to resolve one. If you find yourself in a situation where you know that a car is not a good investment, then this is when you want to stop, breathe, take a step back, and then walk away. You have that power. Use it. Moving along, you'd be surprised at how often consumers buy cars that are advertised on social media platforms or on websites known to attract fraudulent or misleading advertisements. The ads and sellers use these websites to lead you to believe that you are getting the best or the greatest deal. To make matters worse, consumers are buying cars without first seeing or road testing them. I know some of you have had success doing this, but for others, it could be a recipe for disaster. Which leads me to the quote, finding a diamond in the rough. I'm referring to the cars being sold with salvage titles. You may be getting a great deal on the price, but you need to ask yourself, how safe is this vehicle? What was the severity of the damage that the insurance company deemed it a total loss? How much of the car's value depreciated from the accident? In case you didn't know, you may be able to get more details on the car if you do a Google search of a salvaged vehicle's VIN number. If the vehicle was sold at an auction, which most likely was the case, you may find photos depicting the damage on the vehicle before the repairs were made. Now, assuming that your mechanic gives you a good report on the vehicle and you decide to purchase it, make sure that you read everything before you sign. Thinking back to the very first time I financed my very first car, I remember being asked to sign what appeared to me a gazillion documents. I may have read some of them, but I was young and eager to drive off in my new car to show it off to my family and friends. Honestly, all I clearly remember from that experience besides my enthusiasm, of course, was being asked to sign here and sign there, which I gladly did. Ironically, I now tell consumers not to do that. Lucky for me, my first car purchase experience was a good one, with a great interest rate and a problem-free running car that had a happy ending. I think, too, that having a family friend working at the dealer at the time helped me as well. As odd as it may seem, I now tell consumers to do the contrary of what I did many years ago. Let me reiterate to make sure you get it right. Never go to a dealer in a rush, and never ever sign any documents without first reading them. Oh, and you want to avoid going to the dealer toward the end of your business hours so that you are not rushed and put under pressure. You need to take your time to negotiate the deal. You must read and understand what you are agreeing to and signing. Rushing things can cause you to make a decision you may regret later, or worse, cave into pressure. If you're feeling rushed or pressured, I suggest you tell the dealer that you would prefer to come back the next day to wrap things up. If they can't accommodate you, then you may have to tell them that you're going to have to buy your car elsewhere. This is the opportunity for you to use your voice. Better yet, use your power to walk away. By the way, any reputable and noble business will respect your wishes and agree to give you the time you need. I also want to remind you that if there are conditions to the purchase, such as the dealer will provide an oil change before delivery of the car, or order a second key fob, or perhaps repair any pre-existing damage on the car, make sure that those terms are included in the purchase contract or that the dealer provides you with an IOU form. Verbal promises are hard to prove and easy or convenient for the dealer to forget. Finally, you want to make sure that the dealer gives you your own set of copies of all the documents related to the purchase of that car, especially the ones that you signed. You also want to make a second set of copies for your own record keeping, as some of those original documents are for the insurance company or the Registry of Motor Vehicles. Before I wrap up, I want to say that there are many dealers with impeccable reputation who stand by their customers and the cars they sell, and I applaud them. I just wish that all dealers were on their same level. Unfortunately, though, we hear most of those that do not stand by their cars or customers. I wish to leave you with this advice. When you're planning on buying a car, first get empowered. Take control of the deal. Get behind the wheel and maneuver your way around until you are 100% confident that the car you are buying is not a lemon. When things get bumpy, make a U-turn and use your car buying power to walk away from a bad deal. But for now, I say to you, stay safe, be well, and be sure to always stay well informed. Until next time. If you like what you heard, I encourage you to rate and subscribe to this podcast and share your new knowledge with others. I welcome your thoughts, comments, feedback, oh, and of course, your questions. You can email them to theconsumertoolbox@gmail.com.